members. You're most welcome to this meeting of the Portfolio Committee, where we will be considering the National Research Foundation Amendment Bill. Supposed to be public hearings, but it's also interesting that we didn't receive much. We will be receiving the briefing and taking us through of the bill by the National Research Council itself, taking us through, and then we'll have our own comments on their proposed amendments. Before we start, let's continue. Let's start by introducing ourselves. My name is Lindy Wemasego, chairperson of the committee. Nick?
Good morning. I'm a Lelo Preet, member of the committee.
Good morning. Nick Kurnoff, a member.
Good morning. Noguzo Landongeni, member of the committee.
Good morning. I'm Agnes Tuck, member of the committee.
Tandy.
Good morning. I'm Tandy Mfulo, member of the committee.
You can also introduce your team, and then we will
start. Chairperson, honorable members, my name is Malapa Kobela. I'm the chief executive of the National Research Foundation. And my colleague, Mr. Jacob Mahlangu, who is the head of our legal services and at the National Research Foundation. I'm careful, Chairperson, not to introduce members of the Department of Science and Technology.
Okay. Can you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Chairperson and members. My name is Jacob Mahlangu, Head of Legal Services at the National Research Foundation. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lihle Hlophe. I'm with the Legal Services from the Department of Science and Technology.
Morning. Khonse Mothobi, DST Legal.
Morning. My name is Rosen Caesar. I'm from the Department of Science and Technology.
Good morning, Chairperson, honourable members. I'm Barbara Lewis. I'm the legal advisor for Parliament.
Good morning, Chair, members. I'm Adela Arnold, State Law Advisor, Office of the Chief State Law Advisor.
Good morning, honourable Chair and honourable members of the committee. I'm Thomas Oftahida. I'm from the Department of Science and Technology.
Good morning, honourable Chair and honourable members. I'm Martin Mulcahy, Special Advisor to the Minister.
Good morning, Chair and members. I'm Renee Osborne-Mullins, the content advisor for this committee.
Thank you very much. Next to me is Shanaz Isaac, the secretary to the committee. Thank you very much. It is the opinion of the committee. Legislation is desirable to amend the National Research Foundation Act 1998, so as to delete and insert certain definitions, provide for the minister to determine national policies and issue policy guidelines for implementation, to extend the function, powers, and duties of the foundation, empower the minister to make regulations relating to the determination of national research facilities, provide for the withdrawal of the determination or transfer of a national research facility, empower the minister to declare a research institution and its eligibility to receive funding, make certain textual alterations, provide for the liquidation of the foundation, delete certain inappropriate or absolute provisions, and to provide for matters incidental thereto, and that the bill referred to the committee be taken as a basis. I think with that, the department, Dr. Kobela, will take us through, and his team, on the amendments. We had just to to take the members through that we had advertised, as we indicated last week, and we did not receive any interest from the public or whoever had interest to make comments or propose amendments or alterations to the bill as proposed. So we had intended to have a two-day public hearing. So it looks like tomorrow we'll not have the meeting, and today we'll just have the foundation itself to present to us, and then we'll engage with them. The state law advisor and the legal advisor will also come in on some of the proposed amendments. The department also will do that. We also hope, Dr. Kobela, that you will hold our hands, take us through, as we did with the Indigenous Knowledge System Bill, where the department and the relevant unit within the ministry was with us, within the department. The department, the ministry through Martin there, were there throughout the bill, taking us through, and the legal advisor, the state law advisors were there with us. So it was a concerted effort. Members had their opinion. They made their own amendment. We had a very fruitful deliberation and engagement. We did have quite a number of days where we had public hearings, and with yours, it's a bit different. But we just hope that we'll still have that concerted effort by all to ensure that the bill is for what it is intended for, and we'll come up with the desired results. With that, let me just ask the two members who joined us after we had introduced ourselves, if we could, Honorable Kekana, you are too far, please come and sit here so that I can monitor you too. You can introduce yourself and then you'll come. Honorable Doctor.
Good morning, Dr. Susan Tembekwayo, member of Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology.
Thank you.
Morning, Mr. Gigan, a member of the committee.
Thank you very much. He was actually here at 9:30, so we must read the correspondence. We must read the SMSs. The time was changed because there was a meeting earlier on here. Without much waste of time, Dr. Kobela, over to you.
Chairperson, honorable members, thank you. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Honorable members, we are incredibly grateful for this opportunity. As you are aware, we made a submission on Friday last week on the deadline to comment on this very important bill. In the submission that we made, there was a schedule which had made a number of proposals and comments to the bill, and what I would be doing is in essence going through that schedule. So we could either use the schedule itself or we could use the slides that have been presented. But it would be about articulating some of the rationale for the comments that have been made. The first thing, Chairperson, that I wish to make is we welcome this bill. There are many reasons why we welcome the bill. In the first instance, it is 20 years since the establishment of the foundation. The primary legislation was drafted and finalized in 1998, and the organizations...
Can you please speak to the mic?
Is that better, Chair? Okay. And the organization first started operating as the National Research Foundation on 1 April 1999. So it is opportune for us to reflect on how we have been going for the last 20 years, legislation is a living thing, it's a living organism, and changes are necessary from time to time on the back of experience gained, as well as articulating a vision and a future that I think we all seek. The second reason, Chairperson, is that in many ways the bill sharpens the mandate and codifies some of the things that the Foundation has been doing and which we have been reporting to you in different forms. And in particular, I want to cite science engagement. We have been coming here indicating the sort of things that we are doing with regard to science awareness and science engagement, but in the legal sense, it wasn't necessarily part of the statutory mandate of the Foundation. And here is an opportunity to codify that and make it part and parcel of our legislative mandate. In the majority, Chairperson, the bill is very enabling, and we welcome that aspect. In my letter, I did indicate that examples of this is around the fact that science and scientific research sometimes does not know boundaries of countries. So by way of example, environmental research. If you're going to do environmental research, if you're going to do, if I may use the example of water that is particularly challenging for all of us here in this country, but also in the Western Cape and the Eastern Northern Cape, we, for instance, draw water from the Lesotho Highlands Water Project. But part of our research currently is only done on this side of the Drakensberg and not on the other side, although the mountain is the source of the water and the catchment of that water. And so this provides an opportunity for us to begin to think creatively within the bounds that our principles give us to be able to do research of that type. There are aspects, Chairperson, of the bill that will obviously get clarified with implementation, like all things. As you implement, you learn. You might, I hope, not need to tweak, but if necessary, these are things that will be clarified, particularly with regard to interpretation. The suggestions and the submissions that we are making are that of the board and the management of the Foundation in consultation and jointly with the Department of Science and Technology. We work in unison. We work in concert, and therefore in the letter that I submitted, I did indicate that that submission that was made last week was a joint submission with my colleagues in the Department of Science and Technology, and Dr. Thomas Afterheide and other colleagues can add to it if and when it is necessary. Chairperson, with that background, the context is relatively simple. That's what the current Act does, to provide the legal mandate for the NRF, the authority of the board to govern and realize the mandate and to manage the operations of the National Research Foundation. There's a little line in blue right at the bottom of our slides, which you will see more and more usage, because to the layperson, what we try and explain is we are in the quest to advance knowledge in our country. We're in the quest for transforming lives. We are in the quest of inspiring nation through science and technology, and in particular research in science and technology. And it captures a sense of, to the ordinary person, what is it that we are here to do. This Act has been amended twice since 1999, as I said earlier, 20 years hence. But the 2017 amendment is the most significant to date. And it's something that I think is an opportunity for us to reflect on the sort of issues that might be necessary for us to improve the bill and the issues that we need to confront as we go into the future. In our view, Chairperson, the amendments need to strengthen the relationship and also confirm the different but complementary authorities of the key actors in making legislation work. And that is the the authority of the executive authority, that is the Minister of Science and Technology. It needs to recognize it and make sure that we codify that authority, different from the authority of a board that is appointed by the minister, that is mandated and expected and is accountable for the good governance and oversight on the affairs of the organization, and the accounting officer who is expected, mandated, and held accountable for the good management of the affairs of the organization, both in terms of this act as well as in terms of the Public Finance Management Act and many other legislation of the Republic. And so it's in that context that many of the submissions that we are making have been crafted. As I said earlier, Chair, this submission is a joint submission with the Department of Science and Technology. They had requested that I make the submission based on our discussion. But we are also, with the permission of the committee and the House, taking an opportunity to make submissions on aspects of the Principal Act, which were not necessarily flagged in the amendment bill, but which we believe provides an opportune moment to be able to clean up, clarify, and be able to strengthen the bill in different forms. You will forgive me, Chairperson, if sometimes I sound pedantic, but it's important that when we draw legislation, and my learned colleagues to my right, I deal with very, I learn from the lawyers, my colleague Jacob Mahlangu, and the state law advisors are here. The precision on the use of language is important. You need to avoid ambiguity. You need to use words in a manner that is precise. Where necessary, also, you need to be concise. There is no necessity of verbiage in legislation if you can't articulate what is it that you're looking for. And on occasion, you also need to make sure that your punctuation is also correct, because a full stop in the wrong place can create a totally different meaning and create interpretation that was unintended. And so the first one that we're making, like I said earlier, Chair, it may sound pedantic, but we are suggesting, depending on how you and honorable members support us, we are proposing that there is no need for a definition of the department, meaning the Department of Science and Technology, in this bill, in part because it relates to a particular clause which we'll come to in relation to science engagement and the mandate of the National Research Foundation around science engagement. There is consensus between the National Research Foundation and the Department of Science and Technology that this newly inserted section under paragraph 1L should be deleted, as the activities under this paragraph are already captured under a previous section of the bill. It is unnecessary to repeat what is already taken care of, and therefore, should the proposed deletion be accepted, the definition would become superfluous, and therefore should, in our view, Chairperson, be accordingly deleted. I said earlier, Chair, that precision and the use of language is important. Punctuation can create a whole new meaning, and my pedantic nature may come here, because there is a definition proposed where we are defining a national research facility, and we believe, Chairperson, that it is important to insert a comma between the word infrastructure and capabilities, so that the definition of a National Research Foundation means an institution that provides unique and substantial infrastructure, capabilities, and services for competitive research, innovation, and human capital development in science, engineering, and technology, and has been determined as such under Section 5. The insertion of the comma is important, Chairperson, because national research facilities don't just merely provide infrastructure. they also provide capabilities that are unique and important for the research endeavor to actually be undertaken. You were, Chair, if I recall correctly, many were with us at Itemba Labs, and you would be aware that one of the capabilities of Itemba Labs is to provide radioisotopes for the health and pharmaceutical industry. And that's a capability that is unique and that is different from actually having infrastructure. Likewise, at the South African Astronomic Observatory, we have an instrumentation laboratory that is unique and is very particular and specific for the production of high precision instruments that are used in the research enterprise. And that capability is unique in the country, and we provide that not just to our researchers but also to international researchers. And so the motivation of that comma is really to make sure that we provide a more accurate reflection of the purpose and the function of national research facilities. Chairperson, words can have many meanings. And in this instance, we have often used for a whole range of different reasons the term human capital. We are proposing, humbly suggesting, that we amend that term from it being referred to as human capital, but rather as human capacity. And our submission, Chair, is based on the fact that more often than not, the term human capital is a term that is used in commercial circles, where it is more often than not associated with the notion of developing people as an asset for commercial enterprise. And the use of capacity is, let's just say, it's more appropriate to what is it that we are trying to do. We are developing the capacity of the nation to undertake the sort of work that we expect the research enterprise to undertake, and therefore, in our view, the replacement of human capital with human capacity is more of an accurate and more aligned to the mandate of the organization, in particular the public mandate. Chairperson, in paragraph 4, again, with regard to the powers of the minister, we welcome this particular clause hugely. We welcome it because, as we said in our submission, it provides an opportunity for the country to be able to make national policy on areas that are important, and we have already made some suggestions to the minister as to which areas we could begin to develop, or should I say, the department could begin to develop a national policy on. An enabling policy which then allows the board then to determine organizational policy in concert with national policy. And in that regard, Chair, we are proposing that the heading of the section should be amended to merely read the powers of the minister to determine national policy instead of the powers of the minister to issue policy guidelines. We believe national policy is what really was at hand and what is meant, and a well-written national policy becomes enabling. It is clear, it clearly articulates what is it that we wish to seek, and it enables the organization to determine organizational policy to realize the objectives that are set out in policy. And in that context, Chairperson, we do believe that Section 2, where it is proposed that the minister may, after consultation of the foundation, issue policy guidelines for the implementation of the policies referred to in subsection 1, is unnecessary, as the policy guidelines are an inherent power of the minister to issue national policy. You do not need to repeat that that is already empowered in legislation. Chairperson, in terms of paragraph 5B, there is a wording which talks about what is it that we are expected to do. Promote and support research. I think you know this organization, and you've met us on many occasions. And we would like to propose that it may not necessarily articulate the sort of expectation that the country and yourselves have of us. And we are then making a suggestion that it should rather read to promote, support, and advance research, because that is, in our view, a more accurate articulation of what is expected of us and what we expect of ourselves. We don't just promote and support, but we must also advance the knowledge that supports the social and economic development of our country. So that necessity of the addition of advancement in this subsection enhances, streamlines, and affirms the current functions of the organization and what we currently expect of ourselves as well, Chairperson. There are a number of clauses, Chairperson, which we have suggested would, in our view, need to be deleted. And it's an area that we think we might need to even go possibly beyond, because they talk to the functions of the organization, which is in some ways an elaboration of how you fulfill your mandate. Although there are sections in the bill and in the Principal Act which says that we are expected to realize the object of the foundation. So in our view, there is a lot of clauses which are in more ways than one operational in nature and may not necessarily be adding as much value as we would have thought. By way of example, CD paragraph which says allocate funds for research and promote multidisciplinary and transdisciplinary collaboration. You cannot advance knowledge, you cannot support, you cannot promote unless you do that. So it's a case of whether it is necessary to elaborate, manage, support, and monitor operations of national facilities. You can't be responsible for these if you don't do that. Likewise, investigate and assess the need for new additional national research facilities or withdraw an existing national research facility and make recommendations to the minister. There are clauses which expect us to manage these facilities, and as a consequence, managing and providing oversight assumes that this is what you do inherently as part and parcel of your responsibility. So we are making a proposal, Chairperson, that these particular clauses be deleted given the operational nature that are referred to inherent in the objects of the Act. And with specific reference to MA and MB, it is submitted these subsections also belong to the realm of regulation and not in a Principal Act. So there are two things where the Minister, in terms of this bill and the Act, is empowered to make regulations. But secondly, the Minister is empowered to declare institutions as national research facilities or to declare institutions as research institutions. And the Act of Declaration assumes that you have set criteria for making that declaration. And that, in our view, needs to be put in regulation and not into an Act of Parliament. Chairperson, regrettably, I continue with the proposal of more deletions, where, in our view, Section 5, Paragraph 5, I should say, which is amendment to Section 4 of the Principal Act, Paragraph 5, where it's talking about insertion of particular paragraphs under M, coordinate relevant institutions and targeted science advancement and outreach activities, coordinate science engagement by doing the following issues: supporting involvement of targeted groups in the societies, designing the implementation of science engagement initiatives and activities, and managing the department-supported science engagement program. We believe, Chairperson, all of this is inherent in the object, and it is how you then are held accountable for the delivery of that particular object. And it, in our view, that this section is unnecessarily operational and, in our view, needs to be deleted as well. In terms of paragraph 6, there's a proposal, Chairperson, of an insertion of the National Research Foundation Act of 1998 after Section 4.4a exercise the powers of the foundation outside of the Republic, and I've mentioned this in the context of the enabling nature of the legislation and the bill in particular. And here I come back to my pedantic nature about the precision and the use of words and making sure that we are concise and precise in the use of language. It says, under Section 2, subject to the provisions of Section 3, the provisions of this Act shall, insofar as they can be applied, apply mutus mutandis in connection to the exercising of the foundation of its powers and in terms of the section, as if the territory in which so exercises powers were within the Republic. In our view, it is unnecessary to have that phrase, insofar as they can be applied, because if considered and read with the immediately following phrase, it really does become superfluous, because it would then read, subject to the provisions of the Section 3, the provisions of this Act shall apply mutatis mutandis in connection. Mutatis mutandis. Yes, as you can see, I'm not a lawyer. In connection with exercising of the foundation in the powers. And so, therefore, again, it's about the use and the precision of use of words that we're commenting on, Chairperson. Chairperson, then we come to another area, and you'll see these are relatively minor comments that we're making. They're not fundamental to the way in which the bill has been crafted, or the intentions that have been articulated. There is a clause 12 under paragraph 15, where it talks about the divisions of the foundation. In the Act of 1999, there were divisions that were to be created, and the Act had, if I recall correctly, identified five divisions according to knowledge thematic areas. That was deleted in the early versions of the amendment bill, but it still continued to keep this clause 12 around the divisions of the foundation, where it says the foundation may, after consultation with the minister, establish or disestablish organizational divisions for different research fields or functions consistent with objects of this Act. It is a humble view, Chairperson and members of the committee, honorable members, that the NRF believes that the establishment and disestablishment of organizational divisions, business units, and functions is an operational organizational matter that ought to reside under the authority of the board and the management and not be legislated. The board is expected to perform certain functions, chief of which is to deliver on the mandate of the organization. It must be held accountable to doing that, but hopefully is also empowered to be able to make the adjustments as necessary within that particular mandate. Then, Chair, we go to paragraph 18. And here it does get a little confusing. My apologies to the honourable members. where there is an amendment to Section 17 of the Principal Act of 98, and there is particularly in B, where it talks about the money to be paid to the foundation. We are of the view, Chairperson, this is akin to tautology, where you are repeating the same thing in a different way. We are of the view that monies received by the National Research Foundation through the National Research Facilities are covered under Section 1B. Otherwise, in any other funds are to be covered under Section 1A. So you cannot be expecting to receive monies paid, in our view. Users don't pay. One of the mandates that we have is if a researcher or a student wishes to use ITEMBA for their research purposes, they're not expected to pay. We should not expect them to pay because our mandate is to provide those facilities for their use. So in our view, Chairperson, this is an area that we believe is unnecessary because it is repeated in other sections above. Chairperson, in terms of the wording of the bill, depending again on how yourself and the honourable members look at this matter, we are obviously requesting an amendment to the wording that you read earlier. If some of these proposals are accepted, there would be consequential amendment which will then flow from the proposals that we have made, chief of which I just wish to highlight is the use of human capacity versus human capital. There are aspects, Chairperson, where you may wish to also reflect, but in our view, it is about making the deletion and insertion in the amendments to the long title to make it consistent with whatever is accepted. Chairperson, earlier I mentioned that we are taking the liberty with your permission to suggest and make suggestions and we submit proposals with respect to the Principal Act itself which were not necessarily identified in the amendment bill. And again, I want to stress that this is a joint submission between ourselves and the department. Sometimes when you go back and you relook and you relook again, you pick up things that allow you to be able to reflect slightly differently. I've talked to the issue of the division, and I think that's something that I don't want to repeat, but it is around the wording of the Act with regard to divisions, and therefore if we accept the other, then this would have to go, even though it was not necessarily mentioned in the bill. Likewise, the issue of human capital and capacity. And we are wishing to make a suggestion, Chairperson, with regard to Section 4 of the Act, the Principal Act, around the functions, powers, and duties of the Foundation. You will recall that we made some suggestions about a long list of operational matters. But there is a particular clause 1A which talks about the foundations of the functions of the foundation R2A, promote the development of appropriate human resources, research capacity in areas of science and technology. So we need to make sure that that function is consistent with the object that has been proposed. Otherwise, we create the impression that, by way of example, that we are not expected to provide research infrastructure, which is expected in terms of the object of the foundation. So we are proposing an amendment to the subsection to be revised to read, promote the development and appropriate human resources, research infrastructure, and research capacity in the area of science and technology. We have been in discussion among ourselves as to whether we should also include science engagement as a function because it is not explicitly stated, even though it is a mandate in terms of the object of the act. And to make, but however, it's important to make sure that this particular clause is consistent with the object of the organization. Otherwise, we are creating a fissure between the functions and the object. Chairperson, similarly, we are suggesting some further deletions that were not necessarily identified in the bill. Again, in our view, these are wordings that we believe are unnecessary. Promote, you cannot deliver on your object without doing these things. Promote and support research by awarding contracts, grants, scholarships, or bursaries to persons or research institutions. That is what, that's how you execute. It's an executional way of delivering. Review research proposals. You can't award a research grant without having reviewed it. It's just not good practice or appropriate. Manage, support, monitor the operations of national facilities. You can't be responsible for national research facilities, but then state in an act that you must do these operational matters. So in our view, these subsections are operational activities which are inferred and are expected by the organization to do in terms of the object of the foundation. Lastly, we are saying, in addition, the NRF does not promote research results. As such, we promote the importance of research. We use research results for the benefit of society and the economy, but the notion that you promote research results of researchers, I think, may also create a wrong impression of what we do. And this repetition also that we are proposing needs to be deleted. So this is about cleanup more than anything else, Chairperson. And then we come back to language again, and in particular grammar. And again, apologies for the pedantic nature of some of us, where we're saying under Section 6, a member of the board ceases to hold office if he or she resigns. Maybe it should actually read she and he, the other way around. Resigns by written notice to the minister. If the minister, after consultation with the board, terminates his or her period due to misconduct, incapacity, incompetence, or any other reasonable grounds. We are recommending that the word office be inserted between off and due. it's a grammatical issue, Chairperson. If the member ceases to hold office due, so between off and due. Sorry, my apologies. So that we make sure that the wording is correct. Committees of the board. This board is a very small board. If I remember correctly, its membership is 14. Keeping in mind that one of the members of the board is the chief executive and the other is the chairperson.